This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Philippians 2, verse 13. I know you were expecting about 30 verses, but I want to do something that we can remember and we can go back to and begin to use. Philippians 2, verse 13. Reading from the ESV, and it says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Again, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Our subject for today, gifted and empowered for a purpose. Gifted and empowered for a purpose. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, deliverer, one who has kept us, who strengthened us, who blessed us, have your way, God. You're the potter, we are but clay. Mold us and make us after your will. While we are waiting, yielded and still, speak, Holy Ghost, speak. Let your will be done in this place. Speak to each one of us that we may hear your word and then not only be hearers, but follow your word to do your will. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Gifted and empowered for a purpose. A very familiar passage that we use all the time is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. And I always say it from memory from King James Version, but in ESV it says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." Do it again. "Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." I don't know, the question is asked, if God is so powerful, why do we feel so powerless? How have we been so tricked into believing that we are so weak, frail, helpless, even though we serve an awesomely powerful God? Even though Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." If God can do anything but fail, how come it seems we can't do anything but fail? This text, Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power working us." King James, "Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So, and I know many times many of us like to think that God is working through somebody else. Somebody who's more spiritual than I am. Somebody who's more holy than I am. And you recognize that's why I'm asking everybody to find out what your spiritual gift is or your spiritual gifts are and be able to do the work God has called you to do. And I literally mean every last one of us. It's no such thing as somebody being saved and somebody else being more saved. And because we are saved, we've given our life to Christ, we have at least one spiritual gift. And God has empowered us with that to do his work. So if God's power is in us, how do we get it to work? How can we jumpstart it so we can see this mighty transformation that he wants to happen in our community and in this world? Seeing that we desire to use the gifts and power God has given us to transform this world, let's look at what God is doing to get to do what he has equipped us to do. What does God have to do to get us to do what he's equipped us to do? You have to answer questions that stems from one verse, this verse. And you have to help me preach this morning. So you have to answer these questions that's found in this verse. And we're going to preach these points. You're going to answer these questions. But it's found in this verse, Philippians 2 and 3, 2 and 13. You'll find these words. And I'm going to ask you a question. So listen closer to the verse because you have to answer the question. It says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." First question, who is it? And the answer is, for it is God. Hallelujah. Y'all paying attention this morning. Look at that. For it is God. Yeah, for it is God. First question, who is it? Answer, it is God. God, our creator. God, our sustainer. God, our everything. The one who said, let there be. And everything was. I'm talking about God. The unmoved mover. God. The great I am. God. Alpha and Omega. Okay, he's capital two. Amen. God, who sits high and looks low. God, the bread in a starving land. God, water when you're thirsty. God, the bright and morning star. God, my way out of no way. My bridge over troubled waters. Oh God, our help in ages past. Our hope for years to come. God, the wheel in the middle of a wheel. The lily of the valley. God, 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 who is it? It is God. God who's sovereign. He can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. It is God. Don't miss that. It is God. All powerful, all by himself. It is God. That's who we're talking about. It is God. Second question. Second question. First, the question was, who is it? It is God. Second question for Philippians 2:13. It says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. All right? So, first question, who is it? God. Where is he? And his passage says, in us. Yeah, that's a shouting point right there. God is literally in us. All this power, all this creative power, all of this energy, all of this, God is in us. Well, Pastor, you got to show me that. I don't know about him being in me. You know, God is in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and God's spirit dwells in you? Yeah. See, God dwells in us, yes, for a purpose, but God literally has taken up residence in us because he's God all by himself. I'm coming back to that. Yeah. Let's go back to the first question. Who is it? Where is he? Yeah. Third question. Here you go. What is he doing? Well, let's look at 2:13 again. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So that's the answer. What is he doing? Working. It is God in us working. Wow. God is not just in us to be in us. He is working in us. Okay. God is working in us. Ooh, I feel some kind of way. God is working in us. Well, what is he doing? What kind of work is he doing in us? Well, he's working in us and with us to make up our minds to do his will. Yeah, he's working in us and on us, and he's working in such a way so we're going to make up our minds that we'll decide to do his will. Constantly, things are happening in us, and God is working in us. We can feel God working. We can see things God is doing just so we can make up our minds that we would desire to do his will. Yeah, he's working, so things happen in our lives, and we don't know why they're happening, but if we take time to stop and pause, how many of you have things that happen in your life that made you pray? I mean, you're going about a good day or whatever else, and you don't really think about praying, but then something happens. You hear something. Something works on you and start beginning to work in you, and you just say, you know what? I need to take time to pray. I need to talk to God about it. So many times we talk to our friends, we talk to relatives, we talk to other people, we talk to the television when the television is saying things. We talk to everybody but God. And then we get to certain situations that we have to turn around and talk to God. But do you know God loves us so much, he wants to talk to us all the time. Yeah. I got a little secret for you. If you want things to be better in your life, you don't want to go through so much, let me just say this. Stay in touch with God. Yeah. Why? God loves you. God wants to hear from you. And if the only time he can hear from you is when you're in hot water, I say, God loves you. He wants to hear from you. And if the only time you're going to speak to him is if you're down sick, if the only time you're going to speak to him is if something's going on in your family, if the only time you're going to speak to him is when things are not going the way you really want them to go and you don't know which way to turn, look what situation you will always find yourself in, because he is working in you. Yeah. In every action, there are two aspects to be considered, the will and then the work, the deed. And one or the other of these is often our downfall. Either we can't bring ourselves to choose what we know to be right, and sometimes after we know it to be right and we've chosen to do right, we just don't do it. See, we could deal with knowing what to do, but the other thing is doing what you know you ought to do. And so many times it's knowing what not to do and not doing what we know not to do. Sin has corrupted both the power to choose and the power to accomplish. But God is ceaselessly at work in you, in us, both to will and to work, to recreate our wills and to impart to us his own capacity for our working. He's working in us. He's working in us. God is present and working in our lives. Yes. So what's the first question? Who is he? And where is he? And what is he doing? Next question. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Next question. Why is he working in us? Hallelujah. It says, for it is God who works in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Why is he working in us? Because it pleases him. Because it pleases him. God has empowered us to do his will, his way. Why? Because it pleases him. Yeah. All right, let me kind of walk through this. So just make sure everybody knows. I'm almost done. Walk through this. And I thank Sister Kane for sending this to me. I'm sharing this with you today. It says, in Bethlehem, he's God with us. Emmanuel. In Bethlehem, he's God with us. In Calvary, he is God for us. Yeah, Jesus died for our sins. Yeah, and rose from the grave. So in Bethlehem, he's God with us. At Calvary, he's God for us. And at Pentecost, he is God in us. Yeah. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And now the Holy Spirit dwells within us so we could do the work God has called us to do. He lives in us and he has empowered us and he has gifted us so we could do his will. He didn't just empower us so we could walk around and talk about how powerful we are. He didn't just gift us so we could talk about how gifted we are, but he's empowered us and gifted us so we could do the work he wanted to do for the building of his kingdom. It's his will that none should perish. God wants everybody to come to know that Jesus died for our sins, rose from the grave. He's coming back again. He did that. He empowers us to get that message to everybody, everywhere. He's done that for us. So when you have faith, we believe that he does this. We believe that he lives in us. We believe that he died for us. We believe that Jesus rose from the grave. We believe he's coming back again. Matter of fact, Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. God is at work in us. Why is he working us? Because he loves us. Yeah. He loves me. He loves you. Just think about that. He loves me. He loves you. In Deuteronomy 7:7, Moses had a word to describe how God loves or why God loves. He says, "It is not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love upon you and chose you, but it is because the Lord loves you." So I'm getting, listen to why now. Get right. If you hear anything else, this is a great point. God loves you because he loves you. Isn't that deep? God loves you because he loves you. There's no explanation. And yet it's the greatest explanation of all. For it means that though the reason is hidden from us, it's a reason which makes sense to him. Amen. He will never give up on us. He'll never give up on you. I want you to hear this today. Some people think I've done something so bad, or some people think I'm so terrible, or some people think that other people are so bad or so terrible that God has given, but God will not give up on you. He loves us. He's empowered us to love. Word of God says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Oh, if we could hear the message of God today that we ought love as God loves. Let me end with Ephesians 3:20 again. It says, "Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think." Not only can he do abundantly what we ask or think, but he can do far more. He can do much more than you can ask or think. God can do much more than that. Take time to think about what it is that you would like to see God do in this world. Take time to think about what you want God to fix. You know, "God, I need you to fix this." When you're praying, "God, fix that, this. Fix that person. Fix this situation. Fix this money. Fix this. Fix that." Think of all the things you want God. The Bible says God can do it. Whatever you need to know, God can do it. Whatever you came thinking, "Oh, if I could just, if God could just do it, if this could just, if that could," God can do it. But notice the verse says to us also. It says, "According to the power at work in us." In other words, God has empowered us to get done what you want done. God has empowered in us to get done what I want done. God has empowered every one of us to get done what he wants done. But he decides to work through us. Let me tell you what I have not seen in all these years I've been using this verse. I like to use this because it tells us that God can do everything, but he wants to do it through us. But I've always said to you, church, that you always got to look at what comes before a verse to make sure you better understand what the verse is about. And we feel empowered to do all the things that God can do. He's empowered us. Well, what comes before that? I'm glad you asked. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 20 says this, through 19 says this. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And then it says, "Now to him who is able." Okay, Pastor, what does this mean? What do you mean? "Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge." He's telling us again that love is the bottom line. And we have the power to love. Amen. How much money do you have to love? What job do you have in order to love? What position, what family do you have to be born in order for you to have the capacity to love? This world will make us think that we have to hate one another. This world would think we have to hate this side or that side. This world will make us think that we don't have to get along with this person or that person. This world is so configured and Satan is so devious that he'll make us even hate the very people who love us. But God has called us to a higher level of love. I know we say we want to be blessed. Blessed, Lord, bless me. But I always caution us with that because of Matthew 5:11. It says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. But then it tells us how to love. The Christian response is to rejoice and be glad. King James says, and be exceedingly glad. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. Listen. What he's saying to us is, no matter what we go through down here, no matter what we're going through every day, we need to go through it in such a way that others can see the love of God in us. Not your love, not my love, but they have to see the power that lies in us. They have to see the power of love that circumvents anything that we're thinking or we want to do. And God has placed his power in us when we've come to know him. Love lives in us. And out of all the gifts that we have, all the spiritual gifts, I pray that none of us would get a spiritual gift and say, oh, I have the gift of. And because I have that gift, I am better than that person with that gift. I'm better than that. No. Because Paul had to teach us also, the greatest of these is love. Whatever gift we have, whatever abilities we have, we ought to have it for the purpose of being able to help somebody else. Well, who needs the help? Who needs help? You're going to say, Pastor, I don't know anybody who needs help. That person is getting on your last nerve needs help. Don't go try to find somebody to help who's real nice. No. Be of help to them by showing them the love that God has placed in you. Don't do evil for evil. Tit for tat. No, God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Trust God. That first African, when I tell you this, when I said this some years ago, I wasn't saying this to be facetious. I wasn't saying this to be mad. I wasn't saying this to be better than anybody. But when I say First African Baptist Church, I love you all. I love all of you at First African Baptist. Somebody said, really, Pastor? Yeah, I love everybody. Now notice, I didn't say I love everybody because I trust everybody. No, I love everybody because I trust God. If you can trust God in the midst of what you're going through, you will know that his word is true when it says no weapon formed against you will prosper. He didn't say weapons wouldn't form. He didn't say folk wouldn't come at you. He didn't say that bad things wouldn't happen in your life, but he says it will not prosper. Every last one of us needs every last one of us. And when we come together with the gifts God has given us, we can receive what God has for us because one day we got to leave this place. And what you do now determines what you will have in eternity because the Bible speaks of the rewards that we will have once we've been saved. And now listen, I want every last one of you to get every reward God has for you. I told you, I don't want y'all to get to heaven and be mad at me because you don't have what somebody else got. I don't know what they're giving out in heaven. I don't know if it's cars. And I don't want you to end up with a broke down car and somebody else got a Lamborghini. And you say, Pastor, if only I had known that I needed to do the work and use the gift that God has given me while I was yet alive, that determines what gifts I will have. I'm trying to tell you, everybody, God has gifted you for a purpose to do the work he's called you to do. And you're going to be in eternity much longer than you're going to be here. Yeah. If you live to be 200 years old on this side, we're going to die and go to another place. And I like to say, is smoking or non-smoking? And when you get to that place, you're going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Not 200 years, not 400 years, not 10,000 years. One song says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. God loves us so much. It's not because we've done all these great and wonderful things. It's because we have faith enough to trust him. Faith enough to love like he wants us to love. Faith enough to care like he wants us to care.
faith enough to use the gift he's given us to do what he wants us to do. Who is it? God. Where is he? In us. What is he doing? Why is he working in us? Because it pleases him. That's why he has gifted and empowered us to do the work he's called us to do. Yes, he loved us so much that Jesus died for all of our sins. I said he did die. They put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head. And because he loves us so much, Jesus took on all of our sins. He became the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And he died. He was placed in a borrowed tomb, stayed there all night Friday, stayed there all day Saturday, stayed there all night Saturday, but early on that Sunday morning, the Bible says he got up from the grave with power, power over the grave, victory over death. I'm excited about the power because it's that same resurrection power that he gives us to do the work he calls us to do. What a mighty God we serve. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth, unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in him who will not leave you, whatsoever years may bring. If by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to him cling. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures. They will never pass away. Lastly, when your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright your home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. So what is my admonition to you on today? Hold to his hands. Hold to God's unchanging. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. I know you're waiting on the key for me to sing. I don't know what key it is. I'll sing it. Time is filled with swift transitions. Not on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. If you're here today and you recognize, I need to hold the God's unchanging hand. I've sinned, I've come short. And notice this, everybody's sinned and come short. That's nothing you to feel bad about. We all feel bad about the fact we've sinned and come short. But the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If on today you want to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we extend you an invitation to come. Give your heart to God. Trust God on today and say, Lord, I need you in my life. You'll be saved. You'll become a disciple of Christ. We even extend an opportunity to be a member of First African Baptist Church. Become a disciple of Christ, and you can also become a member of First African Baptist Church. Won't you come today? Oh. Those who may be watching online as we pray this prayer, if you want to accept Christ to your life, you can pray right where you are to accept him. You just must believe that Jesus died for your sins, rose from the grave, be willing to trust him all the days of your life. Pray this prayer with me wherever you are if you want to accept Christ on today. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We pray if you've accepted Christ today, just type in the word saved and we'll get in touch with you. But God bless you. Thank you so very much. We thank everyone for coming to worship with us on today. We thank God for you. We're praying God will continue to strengthen, guide, direct, and bless you. Even as you go back to your home, the place of abode, we pray that God will keep you safe as you travel. Again, Brother Mellencamp, thank you so much for coming. And all the Mellencamp family, thank you so much for coming to be with us in worship. It's good seeing you again. Let us pray.
I want to remind us also, as we give, don't forget voting, but also as we give, don't forget those who make special commitments to building fund. Don't forget to give toward the building fund on today, so we'll go ahead and get some sound fixed on our online. Thank you so much. Let's pray. God, we love you, we adore you, we magnify your name. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, thank you for every person that has come to join us in worship in the building and online. We give you praise, honor, and glory. Now, God, as we discover what our spiritual gifts are, help us to use them in a way that you would get praise, honor, and glory, that we will edify the body of Christ, that we will be built up to do what you called us to do. We thank you, God, for everything that you're doing and have done in our lives. Now, God, we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God say amen, amen. And praise God. Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.